Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a 512 Friday edition of Ball Don't Lie. That's where we play jams from local bands and artists, very talented human beings that you can catch live right here in the ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is The Late Joys, and they are playing Saturday at Carousel Lounge.
Late Joys?
Like yes.
Late to the party?
L-A-T-E, oh. Joys.
All right. Okay. There you go. Yeah, you never know with the band names.
That right. Could have been they late. Come up with some pretty cool
they
names.
They come up with some cool stuff. I like that, the Late Joys. All right. I'm not even going to have to break that down. He has like some pleasure delaying stuff in there with Late
Joys.
Yeah, okay. Once again, the added value, the amount of free mentions that Bluetooth gets on this station. That was a wise investment by those people.
For sure.
They got the best brand ambassador they could ever get. I swear, nobody is more proud
wish we
than
I think
Bluetooth.
We should have interviewed my man that came here.
We should have interviewed him because
he is a personal endorser.
He came in here just to tell Harge that the product works. And that he had been using the product way before Harge started endorsing it. Yep. He's like, oh, no, it works. Yeah. And I don't know why I thought it was gum.
No,
it sounds like candy almost.
No, it ain't no candy.
Well, it ain't no candy, but it's kind of like
it
candy.
I'm just saying,
like, it's not a pill. It's like, it looks like.
It's a chewable.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Like a Flintstone vitamin.
Right here. Barney Rubble.
It's a Flintstone vitamin for grown men, apparently.
Exactly.
So,
it gives you superpowers, from what I heard.
Well, what do you mean, from what you heard?
From the testimonial that I got.
Hold up. You have not tried your own product?
Oh, come on, man. You know I did. Was that what your question was going to be to me earlier?
Yeah.
I knew it was.
I mean, come on.
Let's put it like this. I already got a text. What time are you coming home?
I was just saying, if I was endorsing Lucha, I would use it.
Oh.
All the products I endorse, I try to use them.
Trust me.
As much as I can.
Trust me. I just got a text. What time are you coming home?
Hold up. The game is on late tonight.
I will be up.
Oh, we talking about before the game? You know what? Forget it.
Hey, man.
Forget it.
Sometimes.
Right. You got kids.
Hey, go outside and play.
Go outside and play.
It ain't going to take that long.
See, back in the day, this has to affect parents and their relationships these days. Because back in the day, you're right. We used to go outside and play for hours.
Yeah.
I don't know what mom and daddy were doing in the house when I was going. And they knew I was going to be gone for hours.
They always say.
I used to bring like a water bottle. I'm like, mom, I'm gonna be back. She's like, oh boy, don't come back to the lights. Street lights come on.
That's right.
And she know like, that's when I'll be coming home.
And by that time,
everybody's fine.
And you always walk in the house, everybody's smiling. It's like when I left, y'all were arguing.
So I'm just saying,
now you got to smile.
But how upsetting is it now that if you're obviously a mom and dad and you got kids and they don't go outside to play, they play in the house all the time. They play video games and they're always on their phone.
You got to build a shelter.
You got to get out this house so me and mama can work out.
As a matter of fact, take your sister with you.
Yes. Oh, that used to happen all the time.
Yes.
And take your brother with you. He's like, man, I don't want him coming with me. Come on.
Yep.
And he treats you like crap the whole time. He's talking trash to you and everything. But he knew. Hey, mama said take him with you.
My daughter always walks in the house and be like, what y'all doing? Like nothing. We're watching TV.
With a curious mind?
Yeah, she was like,
what y'all doing?
What y'all got going on?
Just popping around the corner.
Why y'all talking so much?
Why y'all so close?
Why y'all talking to each other? What, Dad, that is not your chair.
Why y'all whispering?
Why are you in your chair? Why is you not sitting in your
chair? Why
do
you have to text to each other now so y'all can
have private
conversations with the kids?
Every once in a while.
I figured that. All right. Let's get to some NFL news, notes, and nuggets. We're also going to talk a ton about Texas Xavier tonight. Matter of fact, we'll get back to that conversation next segment and give you a tournament update. Actually, I can give you one right now. San Diego State is up 21-19 with about 4 minutes left in the first on Alabama. So beating Alabama 21-19, about 4 minutes left in the first half.
By the way, my son just said. My son said,
uh-oh.
Hey, man, get it together.
Hey, man, I got friends listening to this show, Dad.
I'm in the car right now. Get it together.
Oh, is he really? Yeah. I was wrong. Okay, you know what? Change the conversation, man. We'll change the conversation. But, Blue Chew is paying some bills in that house in more ways than one.
Hello.
All right. Let's get to the updates for the Bama Pro Day. Okay, so one of the big topics of conversation, if the Texans don't value Pro Days, apparently, Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, they don't believe they need to show up personally, like them show up to a pro day. And they're probably right about that. I mean, most of that is posturing. I mean, it's a lot of it's just theater more than anything. I don't know if you can get all those numbers and all the testing numbers. You can get all that. But you want to meet the player. And he's basically saying, I believe I've heard him paraphrase this on 610 in H-Town. He basically says that, well, I bring those guys in and have interviews privately. Which he does.
Right. That's what I was just saying. So I don't need to go. That's how that goes down.
That's what he's saying. Like, I don't need to go there and take part in all the theater of meeting him and then seeing, you know, him throw and everything.
And everybody's in the way.
I can send scouts there to video him throwing, and I can watch him throw. And I can actually have a private workout and watch him throw. And I'm sure that I'm sure that Bryce Young will be more than willing to throw privately for the Texans if they wanted that too. So I think that's why it's not a big controversy. But
will he weigh in privately?
That's a great question. I don't know. He didn't weigh. He did not weigh in at the Alabama Pro Days. He weighed at the Combine. Remember, he weighed 204.
Right.
I'd come by.
That was 204, yeah.
204, yeah. And now they asked him to weigh in at the Alabama Pro Day, and he said no, which is smart. They want you to weigh more, so go to the Combine, put on the weight, eat a lot of honey buns, cinnamon rolls, carbs, whatever it is, pack on the pounds. But you as a quarterback know this. You got a weight that you play at, as a player, everybody does, and if you're throwing – with an extra, I don't know, 15 pounds on you.
Yeah, don't feel comfortable.
It ain't going to feel comfortable. You're going to look a little different throwing that rock.
And you might pull something because that's not what you play at.
That's a great point. That's even more important, actually. Yeah. And I think for him now, he's probably, I don't know, 195?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, and I think he doesn't want to weigh because he doesn't want them to see him weigh 195 in those throws.
Right, and that's the other part about it too, man. At the end of the day, and I always go back to this, he played in the SEC, and everybody keeps talking about the SEC and how great of a league it is, and it's where everybody is the coldest, right?
Yeah.
You're top of the top of the top. He won a Heisman Trophy playing in the SEC.
Yes, he did.
So whatever your gauge is and whether he's too big, too small, not fast enough, whatever, dude won at Alabama with offensive linemen and wide receivers that are NFL-like. If that ain't the best tape that you can possibly have, I don't know what you're looking at.
And that's kind of why I like Nick Caserio. He says one of the other reasons he said he doesn't go to pro day. He says, I trust the tape. He said, I watched every game that he's ever played college. Hell, I even went to watch some high school games.
Thank you.
These guys play. If I don't have enough of data points, that don't have enough of a sample size watching the actual film playing football against other great football players.
Thank
like you said, in the SEC, you want me to go there and watch him in shorts and T-shirt, throwing the football against air?
Yeah.
And then I'm supposed to be like, oh, you know what?
He's got these great angles.
That's the evaluation that put me over the top. It's like, no, he's like, that's silly. He thinks a lot of the pro day stuff is a bit silly. He didn't say that, but he describes them as being a bit silly and overblown.
And it's like people always saying, this kid may not be able to play at this university. He's playing at 6A. He's playing at a 6A school against top competition where every week you're going into a battle.
There's no other way for him to prove it.
Exactly.
This is the highest level that he could possibly play at.
That's a good point.
So what are you saying to me? That's the thing that always drives me nuts. It's like we talk about all the major networks are always talking, SEC is the place to be. If you can go play in the SEC, you can play anywhere.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you got to go over here and make a draft pick, and you're like, I got to go see him. He don't look like he that tall. Like, what?
That is fair, though. That's a great point.
That makes zero sense to me.
You can't have it both ways.
Yes.
Either it's the best league.
It's either the best or it's not.
Or it's not. And I think it is.
Right.
I think we all agree it is.
Thank you.
This young man was the best player in the country, but also the best player in that league. You could argue 2 years.
2 years. That's right. That's right.
But he did weigh in at, 5'10"? Or whatever, 5'11", something like that, 5'10", a little under 5'11".
My man finds angles, man. He finds those little pockets.
I'm with you. You see, you know I'm a big Bryce Young fan. Yeah. I don't think the height, like I said, I know height is important, but I don't think it's a deal breaker with him. He offers so much more value with his other premium skills. within his skill set. And I just love his ability to improvise. I think his improvisation ability is
it's phenomenal.
It's uncanny. It yes. is. The stuff that he can do once the play breaks down, honestly, it reminds me a lot. That's the part that reminds me of Mahomes. The other stuff does not remind me of Mahomes.
Right.
The only element of his game that reminds me of Mahomes is when the play breaks down and he starts to freestyle. Because Mahomes can do it really well, and he can too.
And he's a freestyle king.
He really is, man. I think that's when he puts on his Superman cape.
Yep.
I always tell you guys, I need a quarterback. When I watch the film, I need to watch for – I'm watching for cape moments.
Yep.
And what I mean by that, I want the quarterback to put his cape on and become Superman. And whether that's leading his team, putting his team on his shoulders, or making, you know, that third and long, whatever it is, I need Superman plays. Put the cape on, young man. Let me see it. I've seen Bryce Young do it a lot. I saw C.J. Stroud do it too,
yes,
versus Georgia.
Yes, you did.
Versus the best defense that college football has seen in decades. I seen him put the cape on.
And it's been unbelievable. He put the cape on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So when I see that to me, that is as an evaluator of the position, as the late, great Bill Walsh would say, very few people can evaluate the quarterback position. Even fewer can coach the quarterback position. My most important data point watching the film, man, when do you put on the cape? How often do you put on the cape?
Right.
And I've seen Bryce Young put it on a lot. He did against Texas. Ooh, so many times. Hell, Ryan Watts should have had him.
Right.
Boy, put the cape on.
And he whoop.
Right? And then he started freestyling.
Freestyle king. And he gets to where he needs to be.
He does. So I still think, you know, for Bryce Young, he's an outlier. And this is a great stat that shows you he's an outlier. Of the 301 quarterbacks drafted in the last 25 years, only two, I repeat, of the 301 quarterbacks drafted in the last 25 years, only two were under 6 foot and under 200 pounds. Neither were drafted in the top 100. So this is going to be historic. This
monumental.
This is unprecedented to have a guy who is under 200 pounds, which he is, and under 6 foot be drafted potentially number one overall.
Right.
Kyler Murray was thick. People forget Kyler Murray's thick.
He got a big old neck.
Yeah, you know exactly.
Yeah. His shoulders.
He's built like an Oompa Loompa. Like he's thick. Like he's thick down there.
As my boys used to call Zeke, he looks like an Ewok.
He's thick though.
Yeah.
So he's got like his base weighs a lot. You go look at him, like he's actually got hips.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's.
He's solid.
He's solid. That's not the frame of Bryce. Bryce is slight. He has a slight frame. He's built in a slight manner.
He's built like a model.
Yes.
He's not built like a football player.
He doesn't have childbearing hips. Kind of, his hips are small, like kind of dainty. And, you know, Kyler Murray is built a little bit more compact.
Yep.
And they think that helps him deal with injury, but he still has to.
And he still has injury.
Still got the injury stuff going on. All right, so that's a little talk about the pro day for Alabama. Now you're done with that pro day. It looks like those are the two top prospects in quarterback. Oh, by the way, Will Levis also had a pro day. I didn't bring that up, too. And he looked great, but.
I mean.
I know. Who has anybody ever looked bad at a pro day?
Somebody said, "Oh my God, this dude is awful."
Yeah, have anybody looked bad at a pro day? I'm talking about a quarterback.
Exactly. Anthony Richardson looked amazing.
Looked amazing at the pro day.
And everybody keeps saying, "Well, he's not an accurate quarterback, but he threw the ball well at the combine."
Pro day. Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know if we've ever heard anybody with a terrible bad pro day at the quarterback position.
It's a lie.
It's almost.
It's a lie.
So there you go. That's the pro day updates. Here's the update about Zeke. We went over this story earlier, and I'm not surprised about this story, but I was surprised about the story from yesterday. So yesterday we reported, because Pro Football Talk threw it out there. Actually, it was Adam Schefter, I believe, who threw it out there. Schefter. Yeah, that Zeke had narrowed his choices down to three teams. Meaning, and the way they phrased it, it made it seem like he had other choices.
Right.
It's like he narrowed his list of future teams down to, you. Like, what do you mean? It's like me saying, he narrowed your list down. It means he had more than three teams, and he narrowed it down. But anyway, but per a league source, and by the way, those three teams were the Bengals, the Jets, and the Eagles. Per a league source, with knowledge of the situation, Elliott is not – I repeat, is not currently weighing contract offers from those three teams. In fact, Pro Football Talk's reporting he may have no offers at all. because they have not been able to find teams that are interested in Zeke. As a matter of fact, they found a couple of these teams, including Zach Taylor, the Bengals head coach, that have come out publicly on the record to basically argue against that report and refute that report and say they are not interested in Zeke at all. That they're a team, they're fine the way they are.
And nobody is interested in Lamar Jackson either. You know what I'm saying?
Like, for very different reasons.
Right.
For very different reasons. But no, it's a good point there. Obviously, these are reports. So where's my man
Ken Francis at? I need him to represent Zeke right now.
And that story has died out. Like, nobody's talking about that story today.
Because
either.
It was just that moment.
Nobody even talked about
everybody
that story.
Everybody was looking
after that.
At it and saying this, and then they were like, man, I ain't talked to nobody. And they're like, of course you didn't. That's the NFL trying to throw some stuff out there, putting up another smoke screen, collusion.
Collusion.
And making sure that they hating on Lamar.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that at all.
Lamar Baxson.
It is a weird, strange story, but nothing but bizarre storylines coming out of the Lamar Jackson sweepstakes. But getting back to the Zeke conversation, so they're reporting that Zeke does not have any of these offers. That, to me, sounds a lot more accurate. If I'm inclined to believe one of these reports – that Zeke is narrowed down his choices between the Eagles, the Bengals, and the Jets, or this latest report that indeed none of those teams have offered him any or have interest in him. I think I'd believe the latter, that no, these teams don't have interest in Zeke, at least not yet. We're talking about the deepest running back draft in the last 10 years potentially.
Right.
And those guys will be way cheaper than Zeke and way more durable and an upgrade over Zeke. And you got a trade market that I got. It's got Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook and what's the running back? Eckler. Austin Eckler is in that running back market as well as a trade possibilities. And the free agent market still has some quality running backs in it. I just think when a team brings in Zeke, it'll be late in training camp or even during the season sometime. Right now, at that position that is devalued like running back. What's the point in bringing in Zeke when there are multiple upgrades over him in the free agent market and the trade market and also via the draft?
Yeah, I agree with you on the draft part of it.
Makes no sense.
And the way that you can go about it. But I'm looking at Zeke and I'm like, he will end up on a team that will be potentially leading themselves into the playoffs because of the value that he brings. Maybe it's not financial value. But the player on the field, whether it's blocking, whether it's getting those short, tough yardage, and the only reason why and on the goal line, but the only reason why I would believe that Cincinnati wouldn't be the team to pick up Zeke is because they let Samaje Perine walk as a younger player and somebody that is not a high-priced player.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So Samaje was a valuable part of their success last year.
I know. And you can't say it's because of baggage. Because him and Joe Mixon
exactly.
got baggage.
Samaje don't have no baggage. He never got in trouble.
That's true.
Samaje never got in trouble. Joe Mixon is the one that was always in trouble.
Baggage. That's true. That's
they looking at Samaje trying to figure out how old he is. He like Satchel Paige. You don't ever know how old Samaje is.
That is a good point. No, you're right about that. I don't know how old Samaje Perine is or how old, Joe Mixon is either. But I do know most running backs are considered old at like 27, 28.
Yep.
That's why the Zeke conversation, it's not personal to Zeke. It's more about the positional value and it's more about the positional market.
And if he didn't grab all that money early, he might have been able to do it.
Hey, you know what? That's smart by Zeke.
Because he knew Zeke's his window was closed down.
Exactly. Zeke understood, no, I got to get my money where I can. Sorry, Dak, I got to jump this line, brother, because as soon as they figure out that I am, there's going to be a precipitous drop-off in my production and productivity, they're not going to want to pay me that money.
Samaje's 27.
Samaje's 27. Yep. He's getting right there.
Yep. He's on that window.
He's really close. I give you the number of the time. Since 2001, running backs with at least 75 rushes per season – they peak at 27 years old on average.
Yep.
And by the time they turn 28, their rushing totals drop by 15%. By the time they turn 29, 25% drop in production. And by the time they're 30, we're talking about nearly a 50% drop in production. This is running back since 2001.
Yep.
So we got 20 years of these stats in the sample size that say, yeah, at 27, 28 years old, Might need to move away from that running back.
Yep.
It's unfortunate. Like I said, 27, 28 is young. Still should be young even in the NFL, but not at that specific position. Yep. It's like when, you know, if a woman is a pregnant or wants to get pregnant after 35 years old, they call it a geriatric pregnancy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Geriatric. She's 35 years old, and they're calling her geriatric.
She's ready to fight.
That's why the women are big about the biological clock and all that kind of stuff. But my point is –
hit me with your best shot.
My point is, I think – goes back to your Bluetooth thing again.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't drop it in there.
I was going to, but you had already told me.
I was waiting on it.
They knew, and my kids in the car.
But, yeah, and we all know, like, that term probably should – it's not politically correct. That's not really a nice term for a woman who considers herself to be young at 35. But mm-hmm. to try to have a child at 35, doctors consider that to be kind of a late maternal age. And same thing with a running back. At 27, 28 years old, yeah, you're young, but, man, you're a geriatric running back. You're
right,
geriatric
right,
back, bro,
right, right.
Basically in the NFL. And that's how they start viewing you. That's how they look at you. It's unfortunate. Sad.
It's definitely sad.
But that's just the way it is. Okay. Also, we were talking about the Cowboys earlier, and there was an article that was written up at Cowboys Wire. And just real quick, I won't go into it in detail, but they just pointed out that the Cowboys' mid to late round picks in this draft could be crucial when they're trying to replace, obviously quality depth and quality starters. They said the Cowboys in middle to late round picks have found a ton of really good talent, and they have. Remember I told you the Cowboys are the best drafting team potentially in the NFL, top 5, top 10 year after year. They did mention two Longhorns that would be sleepers for the Cowboys late in the draft or in the middle of the draft. They mentioned DeMarvion Overshown, and they mentioned Keandre Coburn, both of those guys. And we know Overshown actually has had interviews with the Cowboys. He pointed that out. He told that to our good friends over at Horns 24/7. So we know Dan Quinn loves positionless players, versatile hybrid defenders. DeMarvion Overshown is a safety turned linebacker, so he also fits the type of player and type of skill set that Dan Quinn wants. So that's all still out there. And the Keandre Coburn thing makes sense because, by the way, my man Jeff Howe told me on Longhorn Blitz that Keandre Coburn says he's met with almost every team.
That's
which
good.
I've said
that's
makes
good.
Sense because every team needs a Coburn.
Yep.
But they haven't re-signed Jonathan Hankins yet. It's kind of the last piece of that, you know, of that off-season kind of overhaul that I think a lot of Cowboys fans want to see because he was so important to that rush defense. If you are not going to re-sign Jonathan Hankins, which it's understandable because he's an aging player at a position that is a high-impact position, like defensive tackle. So you don't want to overpay those guys, and you also need to have those types of players. The Cowboys may decide they want to go with Texas defensive tackle Keandre Coburn because maybe they want that guy for the foreseeable future on the cheap.
Yep.
That's
fair.
What they would have in
that's
Coburn. As if they don't re-sign Hankins. I think they should re-sign Hankins, though.
Yeah, you need older
guy,
players to teach the younger players. You definitely need that. You can still go out and draft a Keandre Coburn because he's still learning the league. You still need to understand that. And you can get other players as well. But the main thing is you want to make sure you're putting yourself in a position for the long haul. If he's somebody that you see a good number of years in front of you with, then do that. If you need to sign Hankins for a one-year deal, cool with that.
I like
but
that.
But make sure you get a younger player so that older player can teach him the ropes.
No, I love that idea. Actually, sign him to a one-year deal and then draft
right.
one of those young D-tackles, whoever it may be, young, and just kind of teach him how to be a professional. I may be being a homer here, but I truly believe that all the Longhorns coming out in the draft this year, the ones that are expected to be drafted, makes sense for the Cowboys, depending on – where they fall in the draft. Bijan makes sense if he falls to 26. We talked about the value you get with a top 10 player falling to 26 and at a position you need. Rojo makes sense because if you don't get a Bijan, you can get Rojo in the fourth round.
Yep.
A guy who Daniel Jeremiah and Todd McShay say they can see as a starting running back in the league in a few years in the right situation. Kendrick Coburn makes sense. We just talked about that because they need a D tackle. And let's say re-sign Jonathan Hankins. They can still do both. DeMarvin Overshown makes sense. Reasons we just brought up. His hybrid ability, the versatility. Dan Quinn likes positionless football players, and he's already interviewed a guy like Demo. Moro Ojimo makes sense because he can play multiple shades up front. He can play inside. He can play outside on the edge. And high upside player, 21 years old, who's been a fifth-year player at
Texas.
Exactly. That also makes sense for the Cowboys. They need D-line help.
Think about what you just said, the words that just came out of your mouth. A fifth-year player at the University of Texas that's 21 years old.
Amazing upside.
Amazing.
Like, how the hell did that even happen? Because he came here, he was 17.
Right. That is amazing when you think about it.
Yeah, it really is.
Right.
So I know it. I may just be in the homer here. It may just be me, the homer.
No, but
that I
makes
think
so
all
much
of
sense.
Them. I think they all make sense for
yep.
the Cowboys.
Yep.
Depending on, like I said, when they draft them. All right, we come back. We talking Texas Xavier on the other side. We'll give you our final thoughts about that matchup. Give you an update on the tournament games happening right now. We're live out here at Golffinity. It's a great place celebrating Dell Match Play coming to town. It's a great place for you to come celebrate. Start your weekend off the right way at Golffinity, North 620. You can turn right after that Bush's Chicken or into the Bush's Chicken. You'll find your way straight back, and you'll see the horn flags. You'll see the van out there. You'll also see how huge Golffinity actually is. Great venue, plenty of space for you, plenty of ways for you to cultivate your golf game out here at Golffinity. We'll come right back. This is Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
This is all my fault. To myself, I had nobody's help.
512 Friday edition of Ball Don't Lie. Here we are, Patrick Davis, always doing the job, letting us know about all the local artists and where they will be performing. Where are they at, Patrick, and who is this?
This is The Past Lifes, and they are playing Saturday at Antone's.
Oh, everybody know where Antone's. The new Antone's, not the old Antone's, right?
New Antone's, yes.
That's right. That's
go
right.
to the old one if you want to.
Yeah, but ain't nobody going to be there.
Gonna be there. Hang out there if you want to.
You go kick it if you like to.
All right, we got a couple of segments left here in the show. We'll give you an update on the tournament as soon as I get a view of it. We'll give you an update on the scores there. But we're out here at Golffinity. Dell Match Play is the reason. Celebrating Dell Match Play being in town. And actually, sadly, maybe the last Dell Match Play.
It is the last Dell Match Play.
Yeah.
I wanted to give you the update. Halftime, San Diego State is up 28-23 against Alabama. U of H playing University of Miami. The U is up 27-23 with 7 minutes and 10 seconds left in the first half.
U of H likes drama, though.
They do. They're like TNT.
Yeah, they do. They like drama. They like to make it close and
keep you guessing,
yeah,
draw you in,
yeah,
make all the TVs turn over there.
Yeah, and obviously U of H, if they win,
yes,
they'll play the winner of Texas Xavier. I think we all have Texas advancing in that matchup. Here's my biggest
– on my bracket, by the way, I do have Texas advancing, just FYI.
Oh, I do too. I have Texas going to the title game. Playing Bama in the national title game and Bama beating Texas in the national title game.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this, if there's any year to drink the Kool-Aid, this is the year to drink the Kool-Aid.
I mean, guzzle.
Right?
Yeah.
This is the year
like a water hose guzzle.
couple of factors. Texas is much deeper than Xavier, so I think that's going to be a huge factor, and it's going to be something that's advantageous to Texas because Texas goes nine deep, and Xavier's been struggling this year getting minutes and also getting quality reps off the bench. That, matter of fact, less than 25% of their minutes this year were played by bench players. That's 310th nationally. Texas goes nine deep. That's got to be a huge advantage for Texas. Not huge, but at least an advantage for Texas. Also, they have trouble defending centers, and they have trouble defending the mid-range. I think those things are a little interconnected with them. And Texas right now, you can argue the strength of their offense right now is their mid-range game.
Yep.
And it's because of their center, Dylan Dessou, who in the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament was the most efficient offensive player in the tournament and may have the most unstoppable signature shot right now in the tournament. with the push out of the, what is it called, the flotation station.
The flotation station, that's right.
So those are my three big factors looking at that I think could be huge in helping Texas win this game. And also it involves, you know, Dylan Dessoon, what he can do. But I'm a little concerned about Nungy, Jack Nungy, 7 foot. 7 foot guy who can hit a 3-point shot at a 40% rate.
And if it comes down to the end of the game, getting to the basket and you're driving to the lane, don't forget he's got that big wingspan. He had a big block in the Kennesaw State game, which sent them to play Pitt, and then they end up beating Pitt. So it was a great matchup, a great battle. But I'm with you. I mean, if Texas can go out there and play on the perimeter like they have been as far as defensive, we know what's going to happen with the offense. They're going to find ways. They used the mid-range the last game. You gave us the numbers earlier about the effectiveness in which they played with. I think it's going to be how they run guys off the three-point line and make them shoot the mid-range shot as well.
I like that idea too, because they are one of the most prolific three-point shooting teams in the country. But Texas has gone up against two of the best three-point shooting teams in the country, and Colgate and Penn State. Those teams combined to go 11 of 41 in the first two rounds for three-point range. So Texas has smothered the perimeter in the first two rounds. I agree with Harge. You want to do that again in this matchup. And your magic number to pay attention to is 72.
Yep.
72. Texas is 23-0, undefeated, when they hold their opponents to 72 points or less or fewer. And Xavier is 27-3. When they score 72 or more points. So we get to 72. That's probably bad news for Texas, considering their defense since March 1st is allowing a little over 58 points per game, 58.2 points per game, I believe it is, since March 1st. So their defense has come to play. If, you know, it's a higher scoring game, that actually benefits Xavier more than it does Texas, because Xavier is a top 10 offense.
Yes.
But Texas is a top 15 offense. Xavier is a top 70 defense. Texas is a top 10 defense.
Yep.
So Texas all around is a better team overall. But if it becomes an offensive game, an offensive shootout pretty much, that makes me concerned that Texas is playing Xavier's game rather than making Xavier play Texas' game.
Yeah, they put that pressure on you, and that's the one thing that travels, right? You always talk about defense traveling. And I think that's what the Texas Longhorn fans are hoping tonight, making sure that Texas's defense continues to put pressure on everybody and continuing to go after people. And that is going to be the recipe for the game tonight.
Yeah, Xavier scored 78 points or more in 7 of their last 10 games.
Yep.
11th best offense in the country. But the three-point shot has not been working for them. Three-point shot has not been working for anybody in the first two rounds. Historically low combined collective three-point shooting percentage in the first two rounds. I believe it was like 31, a little over 31%. And if you go look at the first two rounds, three-point shooting for Xavier, they were at 29%, which is pretty close to what the average has been. So we'll see if that changes for them too. But hopefully Texas can keep them frustrated from the three-point line. All right, we come back. We'll wrap it up, put it in the oven. We're live from Golffinity out here at North 620. Come on out here and join us, having a good time, and you'll have a great time out here as well. They're celebrating Dell Match Play, getting the weekend started the right way. We'll be right back to wrap it up right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.
Brett's. Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this
time? Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That is.
Pop a top again.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Get ready to wrap it up and put it in the oven. Before we do, we'll let you know what's on tap. If you missed any part of any of the shows, please go to hornfm.com. You can catch up with them on the podcast page. One last shout-out to our good friends here at Golffinity. Thank you for all the hospitality. And thanks to all the fans who actually came by to say hello to, man. So many of them, and you guys were fantastic. We really appreciate you guys. You guys are family, basically. So anytime you guys come out to visit, really makes our day. So thanks to all the fans who came out. And also don't forget that go check out the website, hornfm.com. You can also go to the contest page there. There's a way for you still to get tickets, courtesy of our good friends at Syntex Tickets, so a way for you to get tickets to the men's and women's tournaments. All right?
No doubt.
Either or, men's or women's tournaments. The ones in the one in H-Town or the one in Dallas.
In Dallas. And also, if you're going to be looking for baseball, baseball is on 1260 and 101.9. And for basketball, a little bit later on tonight, 104.9 The Horn. Right here, you'll get a chance to listen.
Baseball starting up in what?
5 minutes.
Five minutes from now.
They got a big weekend. Texas Tech is in town. Softball has Texas Tech in town as well. A lot of Red Raiders are down there on the 40 acres.
And you're right. Your wife's a Red Raider.
She is only for soccer.
I love how your wife only roots for Texas Tech in soccer.
That's it. That's it.
No other sports?
No other sports.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right. Do want to thank my man Patrick back to Aaron Compound, holding it down. Appreciate him. Appreciate my man Derek. Appreciate Jack as well. Appreciate Aaron. Man, Aaron, who came on for the Harsh Knock Live, he runs this Golffinity, and he does it really, really well. Check it out for yourself. Make it a priority to get out to Golffinity.
Shout out to my man Chris, too. He was the one who always got us down.
There you go. So there you go. All right, best of luck to the Longhorns tonight. You can
That's
catch
right.
it right here on 104.9 The Horn. Remember, the revolution will not be televised. We talk about it right here on Ball Don't Lie. We love you guys. We mean that. Take care of yourselves, but more importantly, take care of each other, and have a great weekend. Peace.